lift me up and lift me out of here. Welcome back to part two, theinfounderground.com. I'm joined by my guest directly, no time to waste here, Daryl Bradford Smith. I am the witness. Welcome.
Nice to be back with you, Ogner. How are you, my friend?
It's a tough struggle, Daryl. You know, I took some time off there. This outrageous genocide of the Palestinians live on television, even without having reporters there, we all got to see the photos and the videos. I'm still outraged. Gloves are off. There's no time anymore. We don't have the time is against us, Daryl. More and more sure of that. These people are going to implode or explode the whole system. We're going to discuss some financial issues and different things during this audio. But let's start off. I know you've read about this. A famous blogger in Italy released the names of the Jewish mafia that run the academic world in Italy. And the guy got his site closed down. Do you hear anything about this?
I have not. Why don't you fill me in on it? I'm not surprised. There's going to be a lot of people disclosing a lot of things coming up, I hope.
Well, this story came out actually in the middle of last year. I remember reading it, and our buddy Sullivan over there, Waker from Your Slumber, reposted it recently. Italy shuts down blog exposing Italy's Jewish academic mafia. And it's basically a list of 160 Zionists, Daryl, that are, you know, these left-wing professors, these Marxist professors in Italy that are doing the work of the Zionists. And they're actually basically everywhere, but the government came in and shut this blogger down. I mean, these Zionists called foul, and this guy was shut down very, very quickly. Now, what was interesting was I was reading. Then I went over, and it was just at the beginning. I'm talking about the beginning of January, and on the 5th of January, you had this very sociable Marxist don't pay any taxes group called the ADL of B'nai B'rith. They, on the 5th of January, they created a new liaison officer for Italy, cat getting out of the bag, as it were.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've learned over time is academia in America is even more controlled. And I, way back when I was in school in NYU, I had a teacher named Dr. Darlene Levy, who taught the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. And this woman, her husband was at the Stern School of Business, which I was in class there as well. So between the two, husband and wife team, two Zionist Jews, the wife was telling lies about the history of the French Revolution, and there was no mistake that she was in charge of that particular subject, while her husband was over teaching Jewish finance to the students. Now, that's just my particular school. Within the university itself, we got this guy Rabini there, Noriel Rabini. Look, the whole NYU is riddled with Zionist Jews running the departments, but it's the same at Columbia, it's the same at Harvard, it's the same at Yale, at Stanford, it doesn't matter where you go, and it's the same in Italy. And I'm going to tell you something else. When Ferrisson was at Lyon 3, which is a very good school, Jean Moulin, one of France's premier state schools, this guy was drummed out of his job by Zionist Jews in charge of that university. And in fact, if you were against Arabs at Lyon 3, you had no problem. You could be as slanderous and as racist as you wanted against the Arab community. When this guy came out with facts, he was beaten up in the street, and then he was jailed.
Yeah.
So my point is this is a worldwide phenomenon, Noel. They've got control of academia almost everywhere.
Well, let's just move into your neck of the woods here. We have our little Zio friend there, this Jewish guy, Bernard Kushner. He's just a new book out about him, and he's the henchmen are out because they're accusing him of some illegal, what he was a minister doing some private business deals in Africa. I mean, just
oh yeah,
and this guy. I mean, Kushner. I've known since I started to learn speak the French language, looking at TV, which is over 20 years. This guy is still the most out and out, most popular politician in France. He's always in these social Marxist causes, and he hasn't been tarnished. Now, not that I can see, darling. Maybe you might know a little bit more. But I mean, France. We have Sarkozy. He comes from a long line of Jewish rabbis. We have the UK is riddled with these people. Ireland has collapsed. Even in Iceland, where they had a Jewish
prime minister,
the head of their central bank was Jewish, and these guys are I don't know where they're heading to. Probably heading to that little place in the Middle East that causes so much problem. But I mean, France, Darrell, is absolutely riddled with them. People are out in the streets. There's mass demonstrations going on, and apparently the little stooge, this Jewish president Sarkozy, is apparently going to address the nation tonight, or so I've read.
He is indeed. Now, here's the thing about France. 1% of the population is Jewish. 1%. Now, they control all the major businesses. They control all the major roadway systems are owned by them, water systems. They own all of the elites in education, in government, in research. The Pasteur Institute is Jewish-controlled. But you get to this guy Kushner, and there's another guy that you might be familiar with, the guy named Jack Lang, Jewish Zionist. Yeah. Now, Lang and Kushner always were very popular with the masses. They were very dynamic and always very popular with the young people. And in fact, Kushner and Lang were both brought into the government to address some of the younger people's problems. Well, the fact of the matter is that they have been in the pocket of Zionist criminality from the beginning, since way back when Lawrence Fabius was the prime minister, yep. Who's another Zionist Jew. Now, here's the interesting thing. Lawrence Fabius authorized the sale to third world countries of AIDS-tainted plasma and blood when he knew that the stuff was tainted with the AIDS, with a wasting disease. At the time, it was called a wasting disease. He authorized the sale of this plasma, and it infected tens of thousands of hemophiliacs and people going through surgeries.
Yep.
When it came time for this guy to go to court, they let him off scot-free. Yep. Scot-free. The doctor that was involved with it had connections to Kushner, and Kushner dodged that bullet because he was one place away from the actual criminals. But Kushner is as bad as the rest of them in this game, and I got to tell you something, 1%... all the control, 1%, all the ownership, 1%, all of the education, all of the politics, all of everything. France is bought and paid for completely.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the outlook? I mean, from what I'm reading, I'm trying to read as much French news as possible. It doesn't look good, Darrell, but it doesn't look good anywhere in Europe or the world. America, another seems to be losing 500,000 jobs. If we really knew the correct figure, over 500,000 jobs per month now, and this is into the fifth or 6 month of nearly 500,000 jobs being lost. When are people going to wake up? I mean, Darren, the gloves are off. I had lunch today with a couple of buddies, and one of them was giving me this Zio Jewish narrative of world history, and I pulled this guy up almost about 50 times to correct his little incorrect facts about more our Hollywood education, Darrell, than our actual, since the school education has got so bad, that our basic education now it has been given to us free or paid for on cable from Hollywood.
Well, you know as well as I do, because you were in that fog bank, so as I know, when I started out, I was in that mindset. I had to be re-educated out of it.
Absolutely.
And so you know where this guy's speaking from, because we all started out there. We all started out believing the crap, believing the films, believing the nonsense. And it's a process. And it's a painful process because it requires you to change the way you see everything. And a lot of people can't handle the disconnect right away. What they need to do is be moved into the truth in a fashion where they can actually handle it. Now, frankly, I don't know if we have time to be educating people who are resistant. There are enough people right now in the world that are very willing to suspend their disbelief and grab onto these facts. And what I've been doing is just blowing by the people that I have to force it on and going right into the people I don't. And, you know, this includes somebody that I held in the highest regard in my whole life. He was really my mentor growing up, this guy, and he would not sign on to helping because he couldn't suspend his disbelief. And what ended up happening is I had to sever my ties with the person, or either that or end up hating him, and I wouldn't do that. You know, yeah. It's the same thing with friends of mine in the Jewish community who are not part of the leadership, but they can't wrap their brain around their own religion being co-opted by criminals and doing horrible things worldwide. They can't do it. So, you know what? I got to let them go. They can't be part of my world because in spite of them not being leaders of this, by them not being willing to look at the facts, they're being supporters of it. And that, to me, is you know, that's enough reason to cut them loose.
Daryl, listen, I have no time for these people. Anyone with this Jewish narrative, I have just no time for it. Easy to pick out the sheep at the moment, but I do agree with you that we have tremendous momentum. People were outraged by the last Jewish genocide. That was absolutely outrageous. And imagine if we had that in real time, you know, having Fox on the ground and CNBC, and we would have seen, you know, whether they attacked the UN buildings. And I saw some clips during the genocide where the Irish guy for the UN said specifically on several occasions there on major networks, I'm talking about major networks, that the Israelis had the GPS locations of all UN facilities. Now that's probably a mistake in hindsight. They targeted the information that they were given. I mean, these people—they murdered people. They'll come after the rest of us. I don't want to say too much on the air. I'm still furious. I even took a break. We didn't talk for a week or so. I was just mad. But the fight goes on. We need more people to wake up and look into these facts, Daryl. If we look back, to the poppy war, the drug wars in China. We have Sassoon and Rothschild there sending in their stooges, the British Army, in there to fight their wars for so that the Jews could have their drug money.
Same thing in the South African when they were stealing the natural resources. They went down and murdered white South African farmers called Boers.
Absolutely.
Under Oppenheimer and Rothschild orders, and the British Army went in and did that for them. Yep. Same. And the British Army went into Turkey and sacrificed tens of thousands of British soldiers on behalf of Zionist Judaism in order to destroy in World War I the caliphate, which they failed at doing, and then they ended up succeeding at it later. But the fact is, these people have no qualms about sacrificing the Goyim and many people from their own community. They don't care. They got their goals in mind. That's it.
I think that's very important, and I might use the word Jew and Zionist and intermix them. Personally, my understanding is, you know, it's a question of understanding as we go along this road, Daryl. I don't blame all Jews. I have some Jewish friends, as you know. I have some Jewish clients. Some I like, some I don't. You know what? You know, it's like they could be black or Irish or anything. Some you like and some you don't. They're not all involved in the network, but there is something. Not in every single Jewish person, but there is a certain mentality that I'm coming to understand a bit more, which is more socialist, Marxist. But you know, if you get into that, then we'll get into the Jewish Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. Now, I don't want to, Daryl, I know you've covered this on many shows, and I've covered it. But can you say a few words here? Now, if people, you know, look into 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, where, you know, the mass murdered millions, separate issue. What if we see, and you're as an American citizen, well, no, a United States citizen, We see the arrival of all these Bolshevik Jews into New York and into America in 1918, 1920, takeover of Hollywood. They already had their banksters in power prior to that, because they paid for Schiff gave, you know, donated $20 million for the Bolsheviks.
Yep.
Can you discuss that a little bit? You know, from the 20s, from the very early 1920s. Say up until 1950s, how their takeover of Hollywood and their influence on putting in this homosexual agenda that seems to be everywhere. It seems to be you're not cool now if you're not a homosexual.
Well, you know, first we got to go to the technology and to learn a little bit about what the Jews actually did in 1880, 1890, was they figured out right away that Thomas Edison had come up with an incredible machine, moving picture machine. The first thing they did with this moving picture machine, they actually stole the operation of this machine. First thing they did was find Eastern Europeans willing to take their clothes off and put up these flicker machines throughout the boardwalk of New York. But that was not where they ended. Because the people for Edison were very strict on the East Coast, and then the Zionist Jews that were trying to make films in the East Coast were actually being caught by Pinkerton police for patent violations. They moved as far away from the East Coast as they could, and they started doing these Keystone Cop things. And you'll find that this guy they vaulted to the hero worship, Charlie Chaplin, was another Zionist Jew, was very involved. But they started using the technology on the West Coast, knowing full well its importance as a propaganda tool. Now, there is a very strong parallel between their knowledge and use of the internet right now, taking control of the infrastructure and taking control of how the propaganda within a medium like the internet works. And there are many parallels I could make between the mass media they're using today and what they did early on. However, what they used that for was to sway public opinion. They saw that it had a very strong impact. So in the 1910, 12, 15, 18 period, during that First World War, when we finally were suckered into that through the Lusitania, we knew full well that the Jews of New York and Chicago were financing this overthrow of Tsar Nicholas, which was predicted 20, 30 years earlier when his father actually thwarted an attempt at overthrowing Russia and kicked out their bankers.
Yep.
Now, what ended up happening is when Schiff threw the $20 million behind it, they became the Red Army. They went over to St. Petersburg. They set themselves up there and began, you know, filling the coffers of the Red Army, going up against the white nationalist Russians, which was the White Army. And it turned out to be a fight that the whites couldn't win because they didn't have enough supplies to defeat the Zionists. Now, once that fell, all bets were off. The Russians imploded their nation after 1917 and consolidated power behind this Jewish cabal, and they have never relinquished power. Now, that doesn't mean that all of the Jews that went in the first instance, most of them were revolutionaries. Most of them were usurped after the fact by another group of Jews who came in as administrators. They came in as bureaucrats to run the prison camp that became the Soviet Union. And once they had a full lock on it, a half-Jew named Joseph Stalin started using his influence to usurp the original Jewish criminals that came in. Now, all of the stuff is a little convoluted, but Andre Dyke, I put a book up on my website. It's not very good for talking about the geopolitics, but what he did do a great job in is explaining how many Jews were involved in the administration of Soviet Russia. It's shocking. The entire country was completely controlled, Noel. And what ended up happening with this country was that there were only 1 or 2% of the population, just like they are in France, just like they are in America, but they ran the entire place from behind the scenes through their bureaucratic and their judicial control and their willingness to be monsters. And what they ended up doing was controlling the food supply of Russia through the murder of the Ukrainian population, which was supplying most of the food to Russia, And once they controlled the food, once they controlled the armaments and the geopolitics of Russia, that country was just a sitting duck for these crooks. And they're setting us up the same way again in America right now. They've got control of Archer Daniel Midland. They've got control of Monsanto. They got control of Cargill. The food, the breadbasket of the United States is no longer in the hands of honest, righteous people, but in hands of criminal Jews. And America's heading into a terrible mess. And I don't see that that's going to be avoided here in Europe either, in my view.
Neither do I. I think our American buddies need to get off their backsides and really, you know, there's talks of boycotts and whatever. I mean, the hell with boycotting Israel. They want to start boycotting the District of Criminals, Washington, D.C.
Well, hey, did you see the thing I put up on my website about New Hampshire finally saying, look, all of the laws and things made by fiat, meaning that they didn't follow the rule of law, which is the Constitution, are non void in New Hampshire. We no longer recognize your laws that have been made by administrative fiat. And so, for the first, in my view, New Hampshire has just shot the ball across the bow of the crooks. Now, whether or not the rest of the states are going to follow suit, I'm praying, I'm hoping, I'm begging the rest of America's states to begin following in their footsteps, because America's states' rights are supposed to be preeminent and predominant in the United States. And there are only a few specific areas the federal government is supposed to be in control of, according to the Constitution. Now, if the constitutionalists nationwide in America begin to reassert themselves, there's a chance we could really throw a monkey wrench in their plans. And I see this New Hampshire thing as a really wonderful opportunity to push it farther into the mainstream.
Well, you know, Darrell, there is a very, very possible chance that 47 states in America, not including New Hampshire, are going to go into bankruptcy this year in 2009, and maybe we have some smart cookies up in New Hampshire that we should be supporting, or people should be looking into what these people are actually doing.
Well, the Free State Project looked over across America when they were looking for a place to have their liberty restored. Free peoples across America said, "What state in America personifies freedom at a level that we can build on?" And clearly, none of the states lived up to the old ideal of the founding fathers of America. But New Hampshire came out on top of the list as a state that most personified freedom in the United States, although it was already changed somewhat. What's happened is over 30,000 people moved into New Hampshire on this Free State Project, and what they've done is they have infected the other New Hampshire residents with the truth. Many of these 20,000, 30,000 people that moved there in the Free State Project have been educating New Hampshireites for the last 6 or 8 years, telling them what's really going on. And what's happening is New Hampshire is finally the state in the country that knows the most about this criminal gang and how the Constitution has been destroyed. And this infection, which is a wonderful infection, a great infection, is infecting Vermont as well as Maine. Now, that's a block of very sparsely populated region. However, if it moves into Massachusetts, where we have 8.5 million people, now we're talking about 2/3 of New England would be behind this move against this criminal government in Washington, D.C. And I can see that happening as these problems deepen. I really can.
Well, you know, Massachusetts, Darrell, for me and my research, it was a very particular well-known family from Massachusetts that sold up just before the stock market crash in 1929. Kennedy's, from Joe Kennedy, another corrupt Irishman that sold out to the Jews when he arrived in the States, figured out they were running the system and sold out. Darrell, we still need to move way past this and much quicker, that we have momentum before the media quashes our momentum brought on by these criminals. Darrell, we could sit back here and watch the world go down and not say a word, yourself or myself or all the other people out there making an effort to fight against these criminals, and the people still won't get it. And I think that's the biggest problem. Propaganda, they're too asleep, too MTV-ized. They accept that homosexuality on television is normal. They accept whatever they're told, and we're not going to wake these people, and we need to move on.
Well, let's address homosexuality just from a health standpoint. If you were to leave an open sewer in your backyard, an open area of feces reaching your backyard area, you would have health department officials on you no matter where you live in the Western world. You would be, I would have fines levied against me here in France. You would have them in Switzerland. They'd be done in Ireland and in America. It doesn't matter. Because what we've known for a long time is that human feces carries a lot of diseases. Well, when you promote a practice of sexual activity that has the contact in the same way, now this is kind of disgusting for some people to hear, but it's the same way, you're coming in contact with other human beings of bodily excrement, and this is a health issue here. Now, it's a crime to do it on your property, but it's not a crime to do it interpersonally. Now, I have a problem with that. I mean, it's disgusting from a health standpoint, Noel.
Absolutely. Listen, Darrell, I don't. I prefer we don't go too far into.
I think the imagery speaks.
Exactly.
I think the imagery of what I said speaks for itself.
No.
However, I'm talking about just from a basic health standpoint here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in personal choice, and I don't want to get into these particular topic. But the what I'm talking about here is this blatant homosexuality on television I know you've spoken to one of my buddies, and my buddy from Massachusetts, who has two young children, about 6 and 8, a boy and a girl. And when we talk, we often have lunch a couple of times a week, and he just said, he limits their TV now to a couple of hours on a Saturday morning because they have too many. Who are all these funny speaking guys and girls on the show, and why are these two women kissing? And that's not normal. They don't know anyone that does this. But yet the television is broadcasting this 24/7.
Yeah, well, and that's by design. One of the things they want to do...
By design.
They want to destroy morality because a demoralized population doesn't fight back. And you can see it with the liberal use of tattooing and piercing of the body, and they're making this into a popular culture choice where you stick things through your head. And and I'm not immune. I mean, I got myself a tattoo back in my Navy days, and frankly, I have regretted it. I've regretted it since. I mean, I woke up with it the next morning, and I looked down and said, holy smokes, how did that happen? Frankly, not remembering, but I knew right away that I had defiled myself. I had mutilated myself with a tattoo. Now, 9 years have passed since that happened, and I'm still, I still have regret about having done it, and never added another one, and frankly, often thought about getting rid of the one I have. Why? Because inside myself, I knew it was a destructive thing to me personally. And take a look around you, Noel. You see young women with them covering their body, their arms, their neck. They've got things sticking through their heads. This is part of goes along with that homosexual degradation of morality. Now, again, you said something quite interesting, and I agree with you. I don't care if people are gay and the rest of it, but from a health standpoint, I have to be concerned, especially if it's something that they're promoting as a first choice.
Yeah,
and when your friend from Massachusetts stated that he's concerned about his children, Massachusetts education is in the hands of Zionist Jews, and they're trying to teach grade school children that it's perfectly fine to be engaged in sexual activity with men with other men and so forth to young children. And this is being taught in third, fourth, and fifth grade now as a health Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm from Massachusetts, so I know what they've done there.
But, Daryl, this is being reported on, and if parents complain about it, their kids can be get kicked out of the school.
I mean, that's right.
It's outrageous. But this, you know, ties into what we were talking earlier about the influx of the Jewish narrative into America. It's similar to, you know, what's going on in Italy, that their agents, these people, whether they know it or I presume they know what they're doing, and some maybe that don't, are making all these choices for us. I prefer none of the choices. You know, what two people do, man and woman, two guys, two girls, I want none of that, to know any of it. Keep it all private. What you do in your own house is your own thing.
But that's not what they're doing, Noel.
That's
they're
exactly
flooding
it.
Your television screen with it.
That's exactly it. But this, you know, this. My idea, Daryl, at least for this show, was just to show if we have a few new listeners. We've got a good few new users on my site, The Info Underground, last week. People seem to be signing up in masses. They're Googling what happened in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out, and they're coming onto your site, and they're coming on to, you know, Wake Up From Your Slumber and other sites, looking for some truth here. And people are outraged. Daryl, let's change subjects. We just had the meeting in Davos, Switzerland, up in the mountains. What did you make of this? I wasn't too impressed with this fake argument between the head of Turkey and Simon Perez. I didn't...
Well, I don't know how fake it is. I got to tell you that there was an attempt on Erdogan's life by some internal assassins not that long ago, and it was discovered, and they put it down somehow. The fact is, getting the Islamic community of Turkey to finally get rid of the idea that Turkey has no cultural ties to Islam, which is nonsense. It does, and that's what they've been promoting for 100 years. After Ataturk, the Zionist Jew, took over the country, going back to their original roots is a good idea, because basically, it is an opposition to Zionism. Now, whether or not this man did this by design or by for real is, I think, immaterial to the fact that this one event did a great deal of waking up to a lot of Turks and a lot of other people in Islam. As you know, I'm back on CII out of South Africa, and yesterday's Tuesday's broadcast was estimated to hit over 2 million people. Wow. And the idea is that they're going to...
We just lost you there, Daryl.
They're working on these things right now, and my hope is not to present to them a Christian or a Muslim or a Sikh or even any type of religious programming, although my guest was rather religious. The idea is to talk to people about who the enemy really is and how it is that we need to come together and face them and stand them down together. You know, Islam has been made out to be the enemy, and they've done a very good job of vilifying them. What we need to do is we need to rehabilitate the image of Islam in the minds of Christians and say, wait a minute, the real criminals, the real bad guys are from a different group. They're from a Zionist group, and those are the people, Zionist Christians and Zionist Muslims and Zionist Jews need to be threatened out of our lives. They have to be taken out. Now, I think we can do it. It's a late hour, and of course you wanted to talk about finances. It looks like to me our predictions, we made some of them together on broadcast to know that we would be seeing some terrible events throughout the month of February. We're being set up for that right now. I can't imagine us not seeing some bad stuff happening right in the short term here.
Well, Daryl, it's going to happen. People are... I was talking to a couple of small business owners like myself, two of them. I had a fairly easy day at work, didn't feel like doing much, took the day off, decided I wanted to go and do a little show, and it was nice of you to come back on. I'm expecting a Black Wednesday, a Black Monday, a Black Thursday, some black day in this month when some of these OTC derivatives come a call and they're not going to be answered.
Well, that we've also got a lot of bond paper coming in as defunct that has not been able to be swept under the carpet, so to speak, and that paper is coming due. We've got, again, as you stated, we've got derivatives that are blowing up left, right, and center that can't be mopped up. We've got China balking at participating in any new treasury auctions. There's a $70 billion auction coming up next week, which nobody's going to participate in. I mean, if they sell 10 or 15 billion worth of that 70, I'll be shocked. So who's going to buy it? The Federal Reserve is going to buy their own debt, which is like, you know, two bankrupt people buying each other's loans, which is nonsense. And so, but I do have to tell people, beware of the short-term destruction of markets such as gold and silver. They love to use this fiat money they've created to implode the precious metal markets temporarily, ultimately stealing money from people who've gone on margin. And you know from being a trader back in the day, what margin is when you think you're going to make a nice killing in the market and you can load up your account with borrowed money, and then all of a sudden the thing takes a nosedive and you get wiped out. Yeah. Well, it looks like they're going to pump gold up to around 1,000 and then pull the rug out from under it, in my view. Why? It's because it's what they've always done. They get everybody on the bandwagon, everybody starts margining up their accounts, and then they take those people to the cleaners. So, again, gold and silver, in my view, is for security reasons. It's not an investment.
Yeah.
It's like buying insurance.
Well, the 1 ounce of gold, I called the bank today. You know, Daryl, I can actually buy physical gold and silver in my hometown.
Yeah.
I called the bank today and I said, how much is it to buy 1 ounce of gold, obviously in Swiss francs, 1,100 Swiss francs per ounce.
That's right, yeah.
And it's
you're going to see 1250. You'll see 1250 before it ends up taking a tanking,
well,
I think.
There was an article up on Kitco today, and they said it could go to 10,000, but we're in a dire situation. Daryl, I want to go back to basic mathematics. We have this puppet. His name is Barack Obimbo, and he's now trying to get about, I think, 900 billion. Now, in your professional estimation, if you got a loan of 900 billion, could be, let's say, a trillion. Well, we can leave it at 900 trillion. How much would a loan like that cost you? Now, if you were borrowing 9,000 francs, Daryl, 9,000 euro to buy a car, you would know exactly the amount of interest you're going to pay on it and how long you're going to be paying it back, you know, a four-year loan. Now, from my estimation today, that $900 billion loan from the international Jewish bankers will cost anywhere between 5 and 13 trillion dollars, and that has not been mentioned. Nobody is asking this $900 billion stimulus package, you know, full of greasy fat pigs and pork, you know, paying off their criminal buddies so they'll shut up about the scams they've been up to. Nobody is talking about, you know, but what about the interest? Usury.
Well, you know, one of the things that comes into that equation is the time value of money. And again, what $1 trillion is valued at today is certainly not what it was valued at a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. So the time value has changed what a trillion means. And what we've seen is once they got rid of the M3, which was the aggregate figure for finding out how much money was in the system, they were able to hyperinflate the financial system by design. This is all in the protocol. This is all in there, just like the homosexual issue in the protocols. All can be read clearly. Now, what's happening here is that they're trying to monetize certain elements within this imploding economy so that they can keep it propped up while they do their dirty work. If they were to stop this monetizing process, the whole system would come to a screeching halt tomorrow. So a trillion being written up today, if you take a look at what's been happening in Zimbabwe before they got rid of their currency altogether last week, it was $1 billion to buy a meal. $1 billion Zimbabwe dollars to buy a meal of food. So my point is, it's all relative, and the value of that trillion they're writing today is not what it used to be.
Especially,
and there's going to be others.
Especially if you know, Dara, that they're going to derail the U.S. dollar and collapse it.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what's going to happen. See, the problem is nobody on our side of the ledger knows what day that'll be and what exactly how it's going to take place. I can tell you it's inevitable. Once you've reached this stage, which we've reached, we went over the cliff a while ago. The drop now is we're in free fall. When they're going to stop being able to monetize is the day that the international governments of the world are instructed by these central banking criminals to let America fall. Now, that's going to happen. And when it happens, I don't know. It could happen soon.
Well, Daryl, listen, not take it easy and get people whipped up here in a frenzy. I'll give you some. I'm going to quote now from globalresearch.ca. A recent report there by the Comptroller of Currency, and I'm going to mention four banks. JP Morgan has assets of $1.76 trillion, and yet they have derivatives exposure of $87.6 trillion. Citibank, assets $1.2 trillion. Derivatives exposure $35.6 trillion. Bank of America, assets $1.359 trillion. Derivatives exposure $38.67 trillion. And then HSBC, a lot less. They have $4 trillion in exposure to the derivatives markets, which gives Daryl in credit exposure to capital ratio risk. I mean, Mohammed Rafiq, when he was on one of your shows there in December, he was talking about banks doing their due diligence. JP Morgan has over 400% credit risk ratio to their assets. Citibank, 259.5%. Bank of America 177.6% and HSBC 664% risk. I mean, these numbers are not being addressed, Daryl. They're throwing money with the No Banker Left Behind, the TARP Act, giving them $350 billion free. We got zero result from this, and none of this. Even if they put it, we need hundreds of trillions, Daryl. This system is gone. The system
is gone. Now, no, one of the things we've been talking about for over 2 years is that the way that these people are doing this, what they're doing basically is they're trying to take worthless money and convert it globally into hard assets. You know, if you've got if you're a visitor from America over here in France, you could still go to a cash machine and get euros out of the automatic teller machine with your credit card. Now, in other words, the European Union and the euro is still honoring the dollar's value. The fact is, one day soon, that will no longer be the case. They're still able to transfer these worthless dollars into hard assets. When that finally comes to an end is when we really see the fireworks. But the dollar's days are numbered. I can't tell the public when that'll be. I mean, if I were doing this figuring on my own, which I've been trying to do, I would have said we couldn't have stayed this long. But they've surprised me. I have to admit, I've been shocked by how many extra months they've been able to drag out of this this crime wave. And the whole time this goes on, Noel, it's just one more month of theft. One more month of somebody taking worthless dollars and switching them in the world, whether it be in the Asian continents or in Africa or wherever. They're switching worthless dollars for hard assets or hard currencies. And when that finally comes to an end is when these people decide that the manipulation worldwide will no longer go on. That's when they decide it. And you can see by the kleptomania going on, it's a kleptocracy right now. They're robbing everything left, right, and center.
Absolutely. Darren, I'm going to quote here from the IrishTimes.com. Irish government debt now rated the riskiest in Europe. And I want to address, I might actually get my feet on the ground in Ireland next week. It's holiday time in Switzerland next week. I might get a few days off and I'd like to go to Ireland, see for myself what's going on. Irish people need to realise that the government are selling the Irish people out to the Jews at the IMF, the International Jewish Bankers, and they'll give us money because we're part of the euro. So we're not like the Iceland or Reykjavik on the Thames in the UK. They're outside of the Jewish control mechanism of the euro. But basically what they're doing is selling future generations out, and they've done that in America, Daryl. I mean, I don't, there's no way, Daryl, we could ever pay back this money. And people, that's why I'm so outraged. How can I explain, maybe I'm just too stupid, Daryl, that I can't explain it, that we can never, all the peoples of all the world, all of our allies, blacks, whites, yellows, greens, all religions, all people, atheists, everyone, we can never ever pay back the debt that we have. And is that the world that we're constructing in the 21st
century? Well, the answer is we shouldn't either. The answer is, and if the Irish were worth anything, what they should do is contact their brothers in arms up in Iceland and say, look, let's start trading together and get rid of this European currency, get rid of this Icelandic currency, reissue money that we both respect together, base it upon actual production of our fish catch and our knitting of sweaters and our cottage industries and our farm products, get rid of the debt. Rid of it.
This is a severe problem now, Daryl, and I'm glad you mentioned it. In one of my last audios I talked about it, most of the 350 million Europeans, which I am one, and you live in a European country, we have no idea what we've signed up for. And now the European legislation that we've signed up to, this Jewish banking system, and they have overall control, is now starting to come back and bite. Now, example would be in the UK, which is in dire needs at the moment. Most people would like to get back to buying British. But we've seen recently, yesterday, the day before, where Obimbo was trying to, with the stimulus package, was buy American iron ore and steel and whatever, and the Canadians and Europeans, oh no, you can't make anything, homegrown. So basically, people in the UK or in Greece or in Spain or in Portugal will be in violation if they try to push the idea of only buying their own products to get themselves out of Stuk.
That's why they have to opt out of Europe. And we talked about this, Noel. This next vote, if the Irish finally put a real punctuation in this next vote, and we can get the public over there, and it's only 4.5 million people, so we should be able to get enough people interested in the facts to say, get out of our lives, we don't want your constitution, and we're going to rethink our participation in Europe altogether. And if the Irish can start the dominoes dropping, other countries will follow suit, because Greece doesn't want part of it anymore, and the Portuguese are coming under terrible hardship, and the Spanish are in the toilet. Now, their leadership is Zionist-controlled, but the public is ripe and ready to take a look at this, and you've been watching these rioters in the streets of France. They're fed up as well. I mean, the French just had the largest single monthly increase month-on-month in unemployment since record-keeping was started. Yeah. And the French public doesn't know the truth, but it's up to people like me, like you, to begin to sow the seeds of fact and say, look, what you've signed up for is a death nail for your nation and for your culture. And what we need to do is take these individual nations back. And I think the best chance we've got is to prove to the Irish people that things like this common purpose and things like this ECB and things like the European Union have killed Ireland, and it will continue to kill Ireland until the Irish get rid of them.
Well, it's a question, Daryl, of people being afraid. And what I'd just like to say to my comrades, we've seen a particular country in Africa, Zimbabwe, that is still, Robert Mugabe seems to be still eating fairly well. They have 231% inflation, and these guys are still in power. That we need to get rid of all of these people. We don't want any one of these people that are related to these Jewish criminal banking network, which isn't all Jews. More Jews are going to suffer as well, but I'll protect everyone that I can and people that are willing to listen, but the people that really need to be get motivated now are the Jews that are awake. And Daryl, I mean, there are a lot of excellent Jewish bloggers out there writing about the network.
Oh, yeah, there are, yep.
And I disagree with some of the factions in the anti-Zionist, or, well, gone on to the blame all, you know, the least lynched all the Jew mob. I disagree with them. Some of their research is pretty good, but they lose it, and they're mixing it in with National Socialism and fanciful fascism and whatever. I'm an anti-globalist. I want all of these people out of my hair. I don't want to have to look up or goose step or seek heil to anyone, whether it was Hitler or any Jew or anybody. And people need to wake up. But people, the sheep there, Daryl, we've a very difficult. But Daryl, I think you said a few months ago you're trying to train the generals, not the actual soldiers. And I think people are picking up. I see there's a lot of activity going on, Daryl. I mean, we're making inroads. I just hope it's not too late. You know, I'm very pessimistic.
Well, you know, if you watch this guy Betancourt over here in France, who's, you know, he's got the right shtick when he's out on, and they give him press time and everything. He's a communist, okay? He's against Sarkozy's government. He's against this right-wing fascism, and he's against this, against that. What he's offering as an alternative is exactly what you said. The alternative that they're offering is worse than the problems we have now, because they're going to have a top-down control system. One thing everybody needs to understand is that freedom, real freedom, begins with the individual. Protection of the individual, promotion of the individual. As long as my rights don't crowd out your rights, I should be free to do and say and be whatever I want to be. And this is the great the greatness of the United States Constitution, is that it guaranteed those things. Many people have been educated away from those facts. We have our individual rights as a birthright. And what we're doing is, by giving it over to a guy like Betancourt, erroneously, is what we're saying, that this collectivism is going to save us. The fact is that's a nonsense. Now, that doesn't mean we can't willingly collectivize our efforts to do certain things, but we do it as individuals. We don't do it as a group of collectivized no minds. And this is happening. You know, they want everybody to say, "State, come and save me. State, come and feed me. State, come and pay me." The bottom line is what we need to do is plant a garden, find a different way to transport yourself, network with people to barter things. We've got to start finding ways as individuals to survive and save ourselves. And to think the state is going to come in and do that is what you're basically doing, is turning over all of your choices to them. And that's exactly what they want. Exactly.
Interesting, Darla. I had a conversation today with a lady who came into my business, and she owns a jewelry business. She's not Jewish. I did the usual background check on her, and she had some interesting opinions on the Swiss situation. Now, this weekend there's a big vote in Switzerland, a referendum, whether the Swiss, you know, accept Europe. You know, they're pushing Switzerland into the European community. But whether we let the Bulgarians and the Romanians workers come into Switzerland, this is a big vote. I mean, you have the ultra-right winger out saying, "No, this is bad for Switzerland," and you have all this the commie socialists saying, "You know, no, it's diversity and we need more of this." I'm against it. I think at the time we have at the moment, we need less people coming in. We need to concentrate on ourselves and get our act, you know, in shape, and to figure out, you know, who really owns what. We have UBS, Credit Suisse, the two biggest companies in Switzerland, are Daryl, by my work ethics, are bankrupt. They have lost 6 billion and a couple of 3 or 4 billion. They've had to get handouts from the government. They have 61,000 million Swiss francs in a reserve for UBS from the Swiss Central Bank, and they've already got a handout of 6 billion, Daryl.
That's from you and the jeweler lady and the neighbors and your people that live across the street from you. That's who's given UBS and and Credit Suisse and the rest of them that money. That's coming out of the pockets of the Swiss.
That's exactly. Well, Darrell, you see this. The thing is, yeah, you said earlier on there, which is, what is the value of money? You know, a trillion today isn't a trillion tomorrow. And if you know that they're going to crash the system, 63 billion Swiss francs in reserve waiting for UBS whenever they call on it. There's something bigger going to come down in Switzerland, but the Swiss don't want to know. They're feeling the pinch slightly. Most business people are well aware of it, and we're expecting a boom. I think what we're, Darrell, like the mayor of Hiroshima, he wasn't expecting a boom, and he got a boom, and it was too late. And I'm trying to educate the people here and say, I run the smallest company in Switzerland, and yet I'm bailing out the biggest company in Switzerland. There's something wrong with the system.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And try to go into to Credit Suisse for a bridge loan right now for your small business and see what they say to you. They're going to tell you to go pound sand in your ear, and they're going to say tough cookies. You're going to sink. The fact is, no, they're not in business for you. They never have been. And when you take a look at the Swiss relationship to the Catholic Church and see what this Pope Ratzinger is doing, and you see what's happening with the banking structure, that much of the control of the world emanates out of Switzerland.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
BIS.org, if people want to learn about the criminals, BIS.org, Bank of International Settlement.
That's right. That's the bank of the bankers. That's exactly right, Noel.
Darrell, I do check out that site on a regular basis. They have a lot of information in PDF format.
They slip up with the truth on occasion, don't they, those people?
Well, listen, getting back to my conversation at lunchtime today with my buddy from Massachusetts, and it was three of us, and he read recently on the, he's aware. He's aware of what's going on to varying degrees, but he said he recently read that on the BIS site there was a quote of $1.015 quadrillion estimated in the derivatives market, and that was on the BIS.org website, the Bank of the Banksters.
Well, yeah, that's right, because what they've been doing is to offset today's derivatives, they've been selling other derivatives to buy them up. So basically what they're doing is they're pushing the problem out into the future for many of these transactions. And now these transactions have never fallen on anybody's balance sheet, although they're guaranteed off balance sheet by the same companies that don't show them on their balance sheet, which you'll have to hear that twice to understand what I just said. But the fact of the matter is that that's Ponzi. That's just a big Ponzi scheme, and it's going to come unraveled as well. Now, whether or not these criminals work diligently to keep the euro afloat after the American dollar tanks, or whether they decide to globally destroy the fiat currencies internationally, I don't know. I'm not privy to what they're doing internally. However, I can say from what I see from the outside, I don't see any financial system weathering this storm. I can't see it happening. Well, I see countries that are doing bartering and having victory gardens. I mean, it looks like we could go back into the dark ages here, Noel.
Well, Darrell, I was reading an interesting one there on the... It's an old headline. It's from 07. I came up with my research the other day from the Times Online website, where you have a company called Boots. The pharmacies are all over the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
And it's Alliance Boots. Their interest, have you any idea how much they were paying in interest? Just an interest, not on the principal, I'm talking about just the interest. They have to pay £65 million every month in interest on what they owe, and they're one of the biggest companies in the UK. The whole thing is a Ponzi scheme, Darrell. I run a very small company. I don't have money. I'm out of business. I can't go into money markets and say, listen, I want $1 billion. These people are paying, £800 million £800 million. That's the value of that's gone down since 2007. Just in interest. It's amazing.
Take your receivables. Go in with your take your receivables on your ledger. Walk into a bank right now in Switzerland and say, look, I want to sell my receivables, which you know you could always do in the past. You could always say, look, I'll take a 6% on my receivables, and they'll cut you a loan right there. I'll bet you dollars to donuts, Noel, right now that you can't even forward sell your receivables on your books to anybody. And this is what's happening. You know, when we were talking a month ago about the Baltic Dry, now that Baltic Dry Index indicated how many people were willing to extend credit for international trade. That's basically what the story is behind the fact that there's been a collapse in trade internationally. The reason that is because people are unwilling to make any type of short-term facility available to anybody. Now, you know, a receivable used to be money in the bank, Noel. If you went into a bank and said, look, I've got $10,000 worth of receivables payable in the next 30 days. I haven't got any cash. Would you buy them off me? The guy would go, yeah, I'll give you your $10,000 minus a 6% fee for the handling. You can't get that now. And you know what kind of importance that has to a small company like yours, or like some guy that can't make his payroll or can't pick up the flour for his bakery? What this means is that everybody's coming to a halt here. We're grinding the economy to a halt right now.
Daryl, listen, that's going on. I called a supplier of mine today and I said, listen, I'd ordered 400 or 500 francs worth of equipment, a motherboard and a screen and stuff, and it hadn't arrived. And the following day I ordered some other equipment and that arrived. I said, no, is there a problem? He said, oh, you didn't pay one bill. I said, I owe you a bill. I said, how much? 202 francs, Darryl. We're talking about $180. I must do about $10,000, $15,000 a month in business with this one company. I buy spare parts from processors, memories, discs, anything got to do with computers. And they all of a sudden blocked me for an unpaid $180 bill, and I might do maybe 30, 40 bills in a month, buying two or three times an order from them, on particular days. They are now. This is the first time I felt the credit crunch here. That they are very skeptical of anyone that owes them money, and you're exactly right.
Yeah, well, they're in trouble, and you know the fact of the matter is that. You know, they may have taken pension money, or they may have even taken overnight money. And, you know, a company as large as what you just said, who supplies maybe 20 or 30 different people like you, who's doing business in the six-figure amounts weekly, let's say,
$150, $200.
Yeah. Now, what happens is their cash flow often will get put into overnight or certificate of deposits or different things like this. All of that money that they used to see flowing through their accounts has been destroyed. Everybody's in panic mode, Noel. And they're not. It's not personal. You know when you talk to the guy
Daryl, I'm in panic mode. Don't worry. I have 100,000.
No, but you know the guy when he demanded payment wasn't doing it out of spite. He was doing it out of fear. It was a fear response.
Yeah. They said send me a fax. Didn't want to talk to me. Swiss German said send me a fax. I sent him a fax, and my order got unblocked instantly. It's a sign of the times, Daryl. I have 100,000, over 100,000 at all times in receivables. That's the way the business kind of works there. Lots of other companies have a lot more or a lot less. Some of these companies are very lucky to always take in cash, like restaurants and bars. People can have tabs and stuff like that, but these places, at least in my part of the world, Daryl, 52% of restaurants in Geneva, Switzerland fail.
That's right.
Over 50% of restaurants don't make enough money to survive.
It's actually the number in the rest of the world is like 7 out of 10. But yeah, I would tell you net 30 on payment with a discount, I would be doing that. I would reduce it from net 30 down to net 15 and try to entice people to pay immediately.
I'm a net 10.
That's what I'd be doing.
I'm a net 10. My supplier's at net 10. It used to be at net 30. Been net 10 since NASDAQ crashed and Mossad attacked America on 9/11. Since both those disasters, it's been net 10.
Well, you know what? You're not unique in that, and it's going to come down to the point where people say, look, if you want me to show up at your door, You better have the money available when I leave.
Well, I got a portable credit card machine, Daryl, that is GPS and... No, Daryl, this is... Daryl, you know, I live in the real world, Daryl. I do run a company. I've run it for over 20 years. I've never lost... I lost money 1 year, but it was more accounting reasons than anything else. I'm still around. I've never gone... You know, I don't owe any Jewish bankers or Swiss bankers any money. I have absolutely no debt whatsoever. I might have 500 francs in my credit card for business purchases. I buy everything in cash. I negotiate. If you want to go in and buy a table, it's 200 francs. I say, listen, I give you 180 cash. I don't need a guarantee for a table. Most times you will get that sort of deal now.
That's right, and you've got to find out. You know, there is a period right now because of the collapse in people's opening their wallets. You're going to see a momentary, and I stress momentary, deflation. And I've explained that on a broadcast with you and many others that, you know, we've got a flood of people trying to disgorge themselves out of unwanted or unneeded things. For example, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, if you wanted to buy any restaurant equipment, you'd pay full price. Today, you can go out and buy it at 50% on the purchase because, look, not only are the restaurants that are closing flooding the market with their equipment, the companies that are selling that stuff are flooding it at discount prices, and we've got a downward spiral. But that is going to come to a screeching halt.
Absolutely, Daryl. And Daryl, it's very important to point that out. Deflation is on its way for a while, but we've borrowed quadrillions and quadrillions, and we're going to pay usury, and we're going to have inflation. It's coming.
It's coming, and it's going to come brutally, and people are expecting deflation, and they're going to get hit with some of the worst inflation ever. And what that's going to do, ultimately, is when they go out to buy their food to live on, they're going to find out that their food bill and their rental bill and their gas bill and their heating bill have all gone crazy, and their salaries have remained the same. And so basically it's going to be a de facto stealing of their living standard immediately out from under them, and they're going to be in tough straits. And I see that within a few months, I see that, if not shorter.
Daryl, listen, I see doom and gloom coming. I live with it on a daily basis, and I try to keep up the good humor, and I work away. We have to look out for ourselves now. No more $3 billion loans for Israel, no $20 billion in fake military contracts, and you know, Daryl, if we go back through history, and you know, talk about if you go on your site, IamTheWitness.com, Daryl has a book section, and we have people like an audio section and articles and news and latest news, and we have people like Jack Bernstein, Benjamin Friedman. These people taught us in the 60s and 80s what this small group of criminal Khazars were up to. But the people, Daryl, we have some work ahead of us. I'm going to, you know, get back into being mad. I like being mad. It's you know, we all have different ways, Daryl, of doing our shows. I could be an AJ and, you know, I gloss over it, you know. Well, it could be the Freemason, like, you know, people say it's the Vatican, all these things. Who controls the money? And there's a guy, the third guy at lunch today, I said to him, an Irish guy, Kevin, nice guy, I said, he who controls the money controls the world. I was trying to quote Rothschild. I couldn't remember the full quote, but the idea was there. Who controls the money controls the whole thing. They can start and stop wars. They can start and stop famines. Sounds like a bit like today, where Obimbo is already okayed the genociding of Pakistanis by unmanned drones. Modified in Israel, tapped into by our friends over there in the Middle East. They know probably before, Daryl, what's going on than the Americans.
Well, I'm sure that the Israelis have a direct link into our phone conversation right now.
This is a Skype call. It's not a Skype call, but it's another IP. You're absolutely. They have tapped into all the underground, underwater cables. We've had. There's been several outages over the last year. That's Mossad and whatever their new department is called. tapping into the world internet stream because they're afraid, because this empire of the Jews, Daryl, is going to come down. A lot of Jewish people are going to suffer that are not, you know, necessarily guilty, but they need to speak out. But this network will not last another 50 years, Daryl.
It's not going to last another five if I have anything to say about it. And the fact of the matter is, you know, when Lorraine Day was on my show on Tuesday, she said we have to re-educate them into goodness. And I somehow see her logic, but at the same time, I also feel that, you know, just trying to wish this away through hoping people do good things may or may not take place, and I'm going to take a more you know, positive stand of action here, and not say that, you know, okay, just putting all of my faith that you know, powers greater than me are going to make this okay. You know, if you take no action, you're going to get no results, and that's my view. And the actions we need to take is education, because if a good educated people cannot be overthrown, they just can't be. And this is the goal I have with Ireland and Iceland. Those are two small nations that could really set the stage for undermining these criminals. And I'm certain they know that. And I'm sure that the Zionist criminals have people on the ground as we speak throughout Ireland trying to control that country right now. I know it.
Daryl, listen, Bank of England cut their interest rates to 1%, the lowest since 1694, actually the lowest of all time. But what I was waiting, Daryl, I've been waiting on, I've just read it, Times Online from today, from this evening. I don't know whether you read it, but there was a 163-page PDF file sent out on the internet today, which I got very quickly today, before it was reported on CNN.com, and then it was reported on CNN.com. is the list of the Madoff investors, and I was waiting for it, and here it is on Times Online from probably in the last hour, Daryl. Madoff's clients at the heart of the UK establishment, a liberal peer and the Rothschild Tory lender emerge as investors in the Bernard Madoff firm as US lawsuits fly. So we now have the poor Rothschilds invested some money.
Perfect. Well, you know, the fact is, I think I really believe he was running like Mohammed Rafik said, he was probably running a butterfly type of hedge fund where he was buying hedges or insurance policies against rises and losses, trying to eke out percentages in the middle. And it started going bad for him because nobody with a hedge fund is immune to the losses. 7 out of 10 have gone down the tubes. And once he realized that he was going to be that people in the power elite were going to be affected by his holdings, they probably came up with a scam to get them reimbursed in this present atmosphere. And I it makes more sense to me than all of these other explanations that I've read. You know, these other explanations say that this guy did this for 20 years, and they say that the biggest banks in the world didn't know it was happening. I mean, come on. You know, this guy was a hedge fund who didn't keep his head above water. Like I said, 7 out of 10 of them have failed. So, but what they're going to do is they're going to make everybody else pay them off. Maybe the day that all of these crooks get their insurance payment to give them all their money back is the day the rest of us are all going down the tubes. Maybe that's the day we're waiting for. Who knows? I don't know, Noel, but I got to tell you something. To try to sell me the idea that this guy did this as a complete fraud for 20 years, it just doesn't make sense to me. That's kind of like selling me, the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, I've been around finance for too long to have that sold to me.
Daryl, I think we do. I think these people are way ahead of us on the knowledge curve, and we're trying to catch up on them. We are. I think we'll even the last one, Daryl. It's been a great interview, and we've done about at least an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Obimbo, President Obimbo. What do you think of his choice for a head of the CIA, Leon Panetta? I mean, this guy is just milked. You know, this guy has just made $700,000 from helping. banks decide how they're going to spend the $350 billion, and he's Obama's choice for head of CIA. This is Leon Panetta, 9/11, Leon Panetta. The network is still in place, Daryl, stronger than ever. Obimbo is no change. The thing with the word was, he'd always say, change. But what they were doing on TV was they were cutting out the word no change. There was always a sign up saying no change.
Well, it's the abomination, and the fact is, what we're going to see here, now this guy Panetta seems more to me like a figurehead. He did carry he's the kind of guy that doesn't have a lot of enemies in a lot of areas. But you know what ends up happening is these criminals at this late stage in the crime committing process, what they need is a guy out front who can make people think they're good. And Leon Panetta is one of the least scathed of all of the people I can think of. He's just going to stand out there and say, I'm a good guy. Don't worry about the CIA. I'm a nice guy. I never did, I didn't support Bill Clinton's girlfriend sitting on cigars, and I didn't do all this stuff, and I'm not, and he's going to be out there, and everybody's going to say, see, he's a good guy. And little does everyone know is that the apparatchik that has been established through the CIA is going to be doing the nasty dirty worldwide, and this guy's going to be the front man for the nasty stuff going on. And of course he's in the Zionist camp, or he would never have been promoted to the level he is. Goodness knows what kind of stuff they got on this guy or what kind of connections he's got behind the scenes, but I'm sure we'll find out more as time goes on. I'm sure of it.
Daryl, I know I'm lost in America. My hundreds of millions of buddies over there, for me, they need to wake up. They're waking up. If you go onto our forums, the Info Underground, we have lots of American pollsters. My last interview was with Administrator Scott, who's come up to the kind of same avenue of research I have, Daryl. Come through Conspiracy Central. AJ came on to you a couple of years ago, and he's getting hassled all over, but he's living it. He knows that we live in a usury system, and the problem is usury, Daryl. It's difficult to know when to stop with you, because we could go on and on for a couple of hours, but I'd like to talk about racism. And the difference between, say, Russian Khazar Jews, Polish Khazar Jews, and then the actual German Khazars that went to Auschwitz and died of starvation. We have a particular country in the Middle East that is the most racist country in the world. I'm going to, all my audios, I'm going to criticize Israel. These people, the more and more I learn, Daryl, about these Khazars, 92% of the Jewish of worldwide Jewry have absolutely no background in the Holy Lands, which are I'll accept them as Holy Lands for Muslim Christians and Sephardic Jews, but this network, Daryl, is Khazar. I'm not so sure if they probably have a few Sephardics there, but from my research, if you're a Sephardic Jew in Israel, you're just above being an Arab.
That has been the case, and here's what I have learned about the people that ended up in Israel from a very early stage back in the turn of the last century. These people were fed a very high protein diet of supremacy, a high protein diet of I'm the chosen, a high protein diet of turn a blind eye to injury and suffering. They were fed a diet of collectivism and kibbutzism and all this other stuff. They are the most indoctrinated people on the planet, because they are the shock troops for this criminal gang at the top who doesn't live there. I mean, the Oppenheimers and the Rothschilds and the Brothmans and the Pritzners and the Spielbergs and all of these crooks, they don't live in Israel. They do their dirty outside of Israel, and Israel is their mind-controlled nation that goes out on their diet of sickness and heinous crimes throughout their region and throughout the world. So, you know, you can blame the Zionist Jews in Israel because they're committing these crimes, but if you look back on the 100-year history of their indoctrination process, they're very much like America is right now, dumbed down and fed a diet of wave a flag and kill the Arabs and hate the people of the rest of the Arab world, and they did everything to us, and they actually believe that a cave dweller in Tora Bora pulled off 9/11. Why? Because they've been fed a diet of nonsense.
See, and he hates American freedom. He hates the Americans of freedom.
But when you see that they can get away with this indoctrinating process in America and in Israel and in France, you can see it. And then dumb us down with fluoride and poison us with pesticides and sicken us with corn syrups and sweeteners that make you sick. And the fact is, everybody in my region is ill right now, Noel. Everybody's getting sick with pneumonia. We've got children out of school, 50% in some areas, with lung infections. And I'm telling you that the doctor I talked to just 2 days ago said he's never in his 40 years of practicing medicine seen people sick like this in one of the wealthiest, as far as area. I mean, I live in an area of incredible natural wealth, full of farmland and full of healthy farms. All of the people's cattle and their cows are sick, Noel. What we're talking about here is they've sickened us, they've polluted our minds, they've polluted our schools. People are walking around stupid as a box of rocks right now, and there's very little that we can do to reverse that in the short term. There are enough of us out there who have shaken off the yoke, who are picking up the facts, and it is a growing movement. I told you 2 million listened to me two nights ago. It's going to be 20 million. Give me some time. It'll be 200 million. We can inform the world away from these crooks' control. Give it some effort, and we can do it.
I heard that there were so many people listening to your show the other night, the stream went down.
The whole website went down for me in France, and it also went down for people in the Middle East, and I got people from Spain wrote to me. They said the stream went down. It did get through for some reason into Sweden. I'm not sure why, but maybe because their entire system in Sweden is high speed. But a lot of people were knocked off the stream because of the number of people tuning in. And this thing goes out over three separate different satellites, all through the Middle East, all through Europe, and all through Africa. And I got to tell you something, we have an opportunity here, and I hope everybody can get on board with helping me to get this message out, because that's what we need to do. We need to teach the generals how to go out and do battle.
Absolutely. Darrell, I think I'll leave it with that. Pleasure having you on, Darrell. Talk to you very soon.
Thank you, my friend Noel.
And that was our interview for the 5th of February 2009. We'll leave you with a Lift Me Up. I like this. I don't download music, and there was one I've seen on a YouTube clip. Interesting, Darrell's perspectives. Darrell's very optimistic. I'm very pessimistic. I always like to think of the worst case scenario and try to work up from there. Tonight isn't any different. I'm going to try to go out and do the same tomorrow. As I said, I've been quiet in the last couple of weeks. Took some time off. Maybe a couple of days off next week. But taking a couple of days off from work doesn't mean I'll take a few days off. And if I have some time off, I can actually do a little bit more, some more audios, which I am... I do like doing... And just trying to get the word out. It's not about me, you know. Don't send me any money, or don't, you know, you can send me your hate mail. It doesn't make any difference. I do this in my normal life, in my working day when I have lunches. I try to eat, but at least take a little bit of time off at lunchtime and talk to people. And the subject always comes up about the criminal network. It always does, because I'm there basically, and I'm trying to remind people why we're in such a financial mess in Switzerland. And why this and why that, and then try to give some historical backgrounds. And truth is with us. The criminals are committing the same acts against us. They've already tried and tested methods, and we need to be a little bit smarter. Since the Oxford are saying goodbye, I'm trying to get you a little bit of music to play it out. I'll be back soon. Didn't want to when I was really outrageously pissed off. I cooled down since the genocide, but I did take that very, very personally. Very, very personally. What these people, this criminal network, did, and they had the support of their criminal network in Israel. I didn't forget that. I'll never forget that. I support the Palestinian people in their struggle for freedom, for just to have the right of water and education and food, and you know, to be able to walk from one place to the next without having you know, hundreds and hundreds of checkpoints. Ognarad.
Take us so far, broken down hard, like strung out old stars, strung out old stars. Plain talking, plain talk, served us so well, served us so well. We traveled through hell, know how we fell, oh how.